podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, week two observations, we'll go through it all. We'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff, some retirements. And I got my guy here, Ty the Pod Guy. So we're about to chop it up. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are in week two in the NBA. So a lot happening early. So we'll get right into it. Got a whole bunch of news we'll run down. But here I have my guy here. He is the chief content officer. That's what it says on his IG. Ty the Pod Guy. So welcome to the show, my man.
What's going on, GD? How are you? I appreciate you for having me back, man. You know I love the show, and you know I love everything basketball as well. So I'm excited to be here.
Glad to have you on. And then at the end, you'll tell everybody what you're up to, and then we'll end the show like that. So
of course.
All right.
Let's get it.
All right. So we're going to start how I usually start my show, Players of the Week for week two. And in the East, we have Donovan Mitchell for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
His team went 4-0 for the week. They beat my Knicks at the Garden.
Ooh. They beat
the Lakers, Orlando, and then they were in a tight game with Milwaukee Bucks. In fact, they're playing the Bucks right now. But they beat them, and they did it on a Donovan Mitchell buzzer beater. So he had a heck of a week for them. Over 25 points, over 4 assists, nearly 3 rebounds. Shot it well from the field and just was killing it for the week. So Donovan Mitchell, Player of the Week in the East.
Shout out to Donovan Mitchell.
Shout out. Guy is balling. Yeah. And then Devin Booker for the Phoenix Suns. His team went 3-0 for the week. They beat both LA teams, the Lakers. They also beat the Clippers. They actually did it at Crypto. Mm-hmm. And then they beat the Portland Trail Blazers. He had a terrific week. 33.7 points per game, including a 40-point game on the road against the Clippers.
Wow.
Yeah, so
now that is a Clippers team with no Kawhi again.
No Kawhi, you know. Over 6 assists, nearly 6 rebounds, and he shot it pretty well for the week as well. So
can we put Devin Booker in the MVP conversation sometimes? Can he just be in the voting? I feel like that is one player that I have just felt like over the consistency of 4 years has not just earned that MVP respect when I know he is a baller's baller.
But you know what the problem is? He misses games with injuries, so
yeah, that's true.
Take that to account. So
I'm just saying, gee, he just cold with it.
He's cold with it, and you know he's got a guy like Kevin Durant over there, so that's, it kind of eases the burden.
And you know? That's facts.
Yeah. So Devin Booker. So he balled out, and he is your player of the week in the Western Conference. So,
I like that.
And then actually tonight you got 15 games on the slate, so everybody's playing tonight because tomorrow is election day. So
yes,
a lot of games on the slate. But with that said, let's get into the news. Rudy Gay, remember him? He retires. In fact. he wrote an article in the Players Tribune chronicling his career, including stories about how both Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, and Carmelo kind of inspired him.
Yeah.
So definitely a very good article. You should read it.
Definitely.
So a player out of the Baltimore, Maryland area. So, you know,
shout out to B-more.
Yeah. B-more. where I was a few weeks ago. He was a top high school recruit there who ended up playing at UConn for two seasons.
Nice.
His freshman year, they went 23-8. They went all the way to the second round in the NCAA tournament. And then in his sophomore years, 30-4, all the way to Elite Eight, but they took an L there.
Gotcha.
So.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, didn't even know Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gay was still playing in the league. I had to when G sent the list. I'm like, wait, Rudy. I'm sorry.
Last year he was playing. I didn't even realize it.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, man. So yes. He was drafted in 2006, eighth overall by the Houston Rockets, but he got traded to the Memphis Grizzlies along with Stromile Swift in exchange for Shane Battier.
Shane Battier. Y'all remember that name?
Yeah.
2006. Wow.
Yeah. So he ends up with Memphis. Mm-hmm. He plays the bulk of his career with
in Memphis. Yeah. Yeah. He was a dog in Memphis. He was good in Memphis.
18 seasons he played, over 1,100 games, scoring nearly 16 points per game. I didn't realize this was his career average. Over 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists, over a steal per game. Mm-hmm. Shooting it from the field, 45.2%.
Mm-hmm.
From 3, 34.6, and then nearly 80% from the free throw line. He had 4 seasons where he scored 20 points or more, and 2 seasons where he came close to it. He was on the all rookie team in 2006, 2007, and he's a 2-time gold medalist. He won it in the FIBA World Cup 2010 and 2014. So Rudy Gay retiring.
And how many seasons? 18?
18 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he played for the, you know what? I think after his Memphis stint, I don't know why in my mind, G, that I feel like he retired then or like left the league for a minute or something.
He ended up with Toronto, also with Sacramento.
Right. And then the Spurs, right?
The Spurs, 4 seasons there, and then with Utah.
Wow. And that's where he ended it, with Utah.
Utah.
Wow. Shout out to Rudy Gay, man. Now that's flying under the radar for almost nearly 2 decades.
Yeah.
Doing your thing, upstanding. Professional, obviously, if you can be in the league that long, flying under the radar that long. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have to be a true professional, true stand-up individual. Organizations must love you. And sometimes it's not all about your game. It's really about how you are as a professional, as a man, as somebody coming into the building. And obviously, it just off the track record alone, you can just see. Through every organization that he's been through, obviously they have some level of love and respect for him. So shout out to Rudy Gay on his retirement, man. For sure.
Yeah, a pro's pro,
absolutely,
and a bucket.
There was
a bucket. He had a few 40-point games. I was looking doing the research. He had about at least four 40-point games.
Like I say, he was a dog for Memphis. I listen if you put a then Rudy Gay with a now Ja Morant and them boys, listen, hope to dream, but you just think about what Rudy Gay and what that team who was the center for that? I can't remember his name.
Well, he did play with Stromile Swift, who was actually very bouncy, you know.
That's facts. That is facts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name, but
yeah,
top to my tongue.
Yeah. Shout out to Rudy. So Rudy Gay retiring. So
Rudy Gay, shout out.
We wish Rudy the best of his post-playing career.
Absolutely.
And then this one came just down the pike. DJ Augustine.
Now, when the hell?
He actually announced it on Instagram. In fact, let me read it. I have it here.
Now, gee, how long he been playing?
He has been playing 14 seasons.
Now, again, so, flying under the radar.
Yep. So this is what he said on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm officially announcing my retirement from the game I've loved for so long. Basketball has been more than a sport. It has been a journey filled with unforgettable memories, friendships, mm-hmm. lessons, and experiences beyond the court. From growing up in New Orleans with a dream of making it to the NBA to having a 15-season career, fulfilling that dream. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for every high and every low, every team, every city, and every fan who supported me and my family along the way. I want to thank my wife for making every house a home, my children for being my motivation, my parents for their sacrifices, my sisters and my family for their unwavering support. I'm thankful for my teammates for the brotherhood we share. Mm-hmm. To my coaches and staff, thank you for your guidance. To the fans, your love and support has made this journey unforgettable. As I walk into the next chapter of my life, mm-hmm. I carry with me the values that basketball has taught me: resilience, hard work, and dedication. I may be retiring as a player, but I'll always be connected to the game we all love. Thank you for being a part of my story, DJ.
Well, shout out to you, DJ.
He was mostly a backup point guard. I mean, yep. He had stints where he was the starter, like in Orlando, for instance. Yep. He was actually a Houston area native in the Sugar Land area.
Mm-hmm.
He attended the University of Texas, and he stayed there for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, he has kind of the same path as Rudy Gay.
Oh, okay.
His freshman year, they went 25-10. They went to the second round in the NCAA tournament. Oh, mm-hmm. by the way, his teammate at the time was a freshman named Kevin Durant.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Makes sense.
that next season, they went 31-7.
Yep.
And made it all the way to the Elite Eight before losing. He was drafted in 2008, 9th overall by the Charlotte Bobcats at the time. And he played 14 seasons. You know, he played on 11 teams.
In 14 seasons?
14 seasons, yeah. Bobcats for 4 seasons.
Yep.
Orlando Magic for 4 seasons. And then he bounced around to a myriad of teams, like OKC, Houston, Indiana, Chicago, Detroit.
1 year deals, I'm guessing.
Yeah, like 1 year deals. Some two, some one.
That's a lot of moving around.
Milwaukee, Denver, LA, and Toronto. I believe that's where he finished.
Okay. Well, shout out to you, DJ Augustine.
Yep. 976 games. Okay. And he started in 334 of them. 9.5 points, nearly 4 assists, and nearly 2 rebounds. So DJ Augustine retires. So same wishes to DJ. Hope all goes well in retirement and you enjoy your time with family and
somebody from ESPN or Fox Sports, somebody be hitting y'all up, You know what I'm saying? They'll be in your DMs or in your emails. Hey, would you like to? Yeah, be ready for that. Yeah, congratulations on their retirements.
Congrats to both young men on their retirement. Speaking of retirement, Vince Carter, guys, he had his jersey retired in Toronto. And actually, yes, I'm going to his jersey retirement in the Barclays Center in January.
Jimmy having all the exclusive everything.
Yeah, I'm going there.
Yo, that's lit.
Yeah, me and my guy D will be going to that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so in Toronto, mm-hmm. at the Scotiabank Arena, you know, the Toronto Raptors, they've been around for 30 years. This is their 30th year anniversary in the league.
Wow. Shout out to Lord, I can't even say their name. Shout out to the Raptors, the Toronto Raptors. Yes. There we go.
Yes.
Say the Toronto Raptors like 5, 6, 7 times fast.
Right. And remember, they came in with Vancouver, and they're the only Canadian team to remain now.
Right.
Because Vancouver moved to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So that franchise is still standing. And a lot of it is because of Vince Carter. You know, the way he was drawing eyeballs there, of course, his play, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, so I got to watch the ceremony. It was terrific. Yeah.
The Raptors don't have the mystique of the Raptors without Vince Carter.
Yes.
Right? I don't think whether you are a basketball aficionado or you just watch it casually or know about it casually, if you know the Raptors, you know about Vince Carter.
Mm,
right? Sure. It's no disrespect to them winning the chip in 2019, but it's not that. They're not that's cool. That's amazing. That's an amazing feat. But when we think about the Raptors, I'm not thinking about Kawhi in the 2019 Raptors.
I'm not
thinking about y'all championship. I'm thinking about Vince Carter.
I'm thinking
about Vince Carter. That's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, yeah. And he spent 7 years there with the Toronto Raptors. Wow. Remember, he was drafted. I can't believe it was this long ago. 1998, he was drafted.
Wow. I was 4 years
fifth overall. And then remember, they had the draft day trade with Golden State. He was originally drafted by Golden State.
Golden State, yep.
And they swapped him for
the Toronto Raptors.
Antoine Jameson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like an even swap. So, but that trade, I think, kept Toronto afloat because this man was an attraction. Mm-hmm. People would go to Canada to see this guy.
Yes, sir.
That's how good he was.
That's why Canada loves that man.
Oh, yes. No question. In his 6.5 years, he played in over 400 games, averaging 23.4 points per game,
mm-hmm.
over five rebounds, nearly 4 assists, 1.3 steals, and a block per game. He was Rookie of the Year, and in those 6.5 seasons, he was All-Star 6 times.
Rightfully so.
All-NBA.
Rightfully so.
So it was a nice ceremony. A lot of his teammates were there. Alvin Williams, Charles Oakley was there.
Nice.
Tracy McGrady, obviously.
Of course.
Maurice Peterson. I haven't heard that name in a while. Mo Pete. Yeah, that was the squad.
Whoa.
Muggsy Bogues was there.
Whoa.
Doug Christie, Kevin Willis, D. Brown, and Antonio Davis was all in attendance. And then they had video tributes where DeMar DeRozan said a little something.
Ah, nice.
Kyle Lowry, he showed his love. Tristan Thompson also. And Scottie Barnes, he also was on the video tribute, as well as the former GM, Glenn Grunwald.
Uh-huh.
And the owner, Larry Tannenbaum. So a lot of people on there, but all in all, it was a beautiful ceremony. The banner, I say, one of the best banners I've seen go up for an NBA player, the way they did it.
Nice. Yes. I did see it. It did look great.
Yeah.
Especially just for Vince Carter.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, G, when you was reading that list of who was giving, you know, kind of paying their homage and giving flowers, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan definitely make sense.
Yes.
Like, those were Raptors for damn near a decade plus. They played, they stayed, went to numerous Eastern Conference Finals, couldn't give it over a hump because of one LeBron James. So, you know, you that's just that. You got to deal with that.
Yeah.
Now, why?
Good.
Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I believe they played together. I'm trying to
think. How long?
I don't think they played together long. Yeah, I was like, Tristan Thompson. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I was just like when you said his name, I said.
Oh, also Steph Curry. He was on the tribute as well.
Oh, okay. Steph, I understand.
Yeah.
Steph and Vince may have a relationship there. And to a degree, let me stop. You
remember, he almost became a warrior.
Right. So there's a relationship there. I'm just trying to understand the correlation between Tristan and Vince. But hey, they're all up. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Drake was there for what that's worth.
Right. And I was just like, it just rose an eyebrow. I was like, huh. All right, then. Mm-hmm. You got it though. But Vince was that man. Vince was that dude. I knew when I was growing up, like I said, when Vince got drafted, I was 4 years old. But what I did know was that Vince was that guy. And we watched a lot of highlights, played Vince in so many video games. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? It was only a few players that you really wanted to play with in the video games. You know what I'm saying? When NBA 2K was out, for real, 2000, right? 2001, 2002, 3, 4, 5. You know what I'm saying? You're playing as Vince Carter. That's just what that is. And I think his dunk was always like in the 90s. His dunk was always going to be in the 90s. You going to dunk with Vince Carter. And so I loved that. Was it
2000?
Was it
the dunk contest?
The dunk. First of all, we need to rename the dunk contest the Vince Carter dunk contest, something like that. It needs to be renamed in that order, right? Like, yes. I think a case can be made between him and MJ, but I think a lot of people will give it to Vince. I know I would, but it just needs to be that because the dunk contest, I feel, doesn't aim for that popularity, especially coming into the new era, if Vince Carter doesn't show out the way that he did.
No question.
You don't see what you see now unless you don't get what you get from Vince Carter.
Yeah.
And the other greats that came with it. But, like, Vince Carter was that guy.
Yeah, and the thing was, the contest was kind of dying out.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Not only, and to your point, G, not only did he bring eyes, sometimes it's not all about championships, even though you want to win one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to understand, how can I make my mark, even if, you know, I'm not, maybe not going to get a ship? Or I'm not going to make it to the final dance. Cool. How can I make my mark? Vince Carter, I felt like, knew where to make a long-lasting mark.
Facts.
Not just with the Raptors and bringing that type of attention to the city, ultimately bringing him, you know, ultimately that forwarding into their first ever championship in 2019.
Yeah.
Then having the wherewithal to be like, okay, in this dying contest that is supposed to be entertaining in a sense, let me make it entertaining. MJ made it entertaining when he was doing it. When they were doing it back then, when I see the clips, when I see the documentaries, those dunk contests look fire to me. Took a minute for it to get back fire. Vince Carter, here comes Vince Carter. Boom. Between the legs. Boom. Over the back. Boom. 50s all across the board. He's making people sit here and sweat. He making people sit here and faint. Like, this man was no game.
And there were some good dunkers in that contest.
And that's the thing. Vince Carter made people have to elevate their game when it came to the I felt like not only did he make the dunk contest more appealing, he made All-Star Weekend more appealing.
Yes.
What that is. Like, yeah, you come for the All-Star game, three-point contest, that's cool.
Right.
But like, when for a while, the dunk contest was the main attraction.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star.
Yeah. I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, come on now. So it's just like I'm not even watching no more for the All-Star game. I'm trying to see who in this dunk contest. Now the dunk contest nowadays over the last 2 years have not been remotely what they need to be.
Yeah.
But Vince Carter was that guy. That's all I know. Shout out to him. Shout out to his jersey growing up. He deserves it. He definitely deserves it. He definitely deserves it for sure.
He deserves it. No question about it. So, Vince Carter, we salute you for your jersey being retired. And of course, he just made the Hall of Fame. Also, rightfully so.
Right.
No argument here. But let's move on to a question that was actually posed. I actually got this from the iCouple, those guys, Rob Parker. Now he got the new guy on there.
Kevin Washington. Shout out to the
iCouple. Yeah. Because they replaced Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard, yep.
So they posed this question. Are we doing too much in terms of jersey retirements and erecting statues?
Now, I did hear this, their take on this. It's interesting that you pose this question on your show as well. To a degree, when it comes to the statues, yes. And not in terms of who's getting the statue.
Right.
And I think in terms of when we talk about the jerseys, if that player was an impactful player for that team, I have no problem. That's between you and that team. I don't know all the players who, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like every player, you know, starter or backup, G, is getting their jerseys in the rafters, right? Yeah. These are impactful players who made an impact to their organization, whether they won a championship or not. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And so, to a degree, the jerseys is just up to the team and the organization. That's up to them. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
In terms of these statues, G, I just seen what they did with the Kobe statue.
Yes, I was going to talk about that.
And I was just like,
how do you mess up the stats? How do you do it? A simple Wikipedia search of
a Wikipedia. First of all, the statue. The statues that we've seen of late, Kobe and Dwayne Wade recently, they don't look like neither one of them at all. Throw the whole statue away. Throw both of them away. Throw them in the river, create a new one. I don't understand when it comes to the design and the sculpture. Like, we have at this point, we are in a space where AI and technology can literally read our faces, and you're telling me you can't put that. Like, gee, who created Michelangelo? Like, who created all the statues? Yeah. Do we need to go back to the 1400s to get the sculptor who created these statues? Like, who's doing this?
Right.
It's not, and again, necessarily for me, G, is not the person, because that's up to the organization. And that, I don't know how the organization feels about this player. Cool, yeah. That's what y'all do. But if you're gonna do it, G, if you're gonna give a Dwayne Wade a statue, if you're going to give the great, late great Kobe Bryant a statue, please, and any other players that are going to get a statue, Steph is going to get a statue. Clay possibly is going to get that whole big three is probably right. going to get a statue. Giannis, if he doesn't get traded, which we'll get to, might get a statue if he stays and win another championship. Jokic might get a statue if he stays and win another championship. Like, you can't mess up these impactful players.
Yeah.
Down the line, who have won you your first ship, done so much for your organization, and then you create something in remembrance of them, in honor of them, giving them their flowers per se, and it looks nothing like them. Who is? I want to know. They need to come to the court and come to the forefront, and we need to know who the hell is making these statues and fire them.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, because have you seen? I seen this on Nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Ocho. Yeah. Have you seen the Hall of Fame statues that they give them? The mold that they give them.
Are you talking about football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the football Hall of Fame.
They do a great job.
Gee, obviously NBA and NFL ain't on one accord when it comes to the statue makers. Yeah,
they do a great job.
I said, when Shannon Sharp showed us, like, the audience, the statue molding that they use.
Yeah.
Yo, not that they just got your part in there, your famous part. Not they got your cut under the eye.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really detailed.
Gee, and really that's detailed. What I'm saying. If you're going to do it, make sure you do it in excellence and you do it right. This is a man who helped you win 3 freaking championships.
Yeah. Left
your organization, came back, and still loved on y'all. And
Mr. 305.
Mr. 305 himself.
D-Wade.
And you're going to sit. If you saw the video, G, when they sat here and they showed him and his son, they had a telepathy talk. They was just sitting there laughing. And he looked up at it. He was just like, His son looked at him like,
It's like he has to like it.
What else can you do, G? You can't throw it away.
Yeah, he can't rail against
it. You can't go back. You can't put it in the big ass grinder.
It'll look like he's ungrateful if he did that.
Gee, I don't care how I would look at that point. If I'm Dwayne Wade, I don't care how I look to you. This doesn't look like me.
Right. And then not to mention the AI statue that was so small you could fit it in your back pocket.
Gee, I'm just like, come on, bro.
I don't hear people complain about the Dirk Nowitzki statues, so I guess they did it right.
They must have did it right. I said the same thing about AI statue.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Who?
Yeah.
Who's making these statues, bro?
Yeah.
Who is the NBA? You just signed a $75 billion TV deal.
Yeah.
The least you could do is if you're going to tribute your greats.
Yeah.
With whatever organization you're from, please tribute them with excellence.
Yes.
and not.
I don't think that's a big axe.
I don't think that's a big ass either, G. But I'm gonna let it fly.
But I think we're all both on the same page as far as jersey retirement. Whatever the franchise decides, like Adonis Haslam got his retired. He was there 20 years.
20 years.
I can't knock that.
He was like the enforcer of the team for like literally 20 years.
20 years. So if you want to retire his jersey, fine.
Retire him.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was looking at the different teams and who's team. You know, Kevin Garnett, they didn't retire his jersey in Minnesota yet.
Shut up, really?
They have not. They have not. Ooh. But it's retired in Boston.
Is that so because he won one? Wow. Is that because he won them a chip?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
See, but, as Minnesota, you should do that.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what you're waiting for.
I don't know either. Maybe they're waiting for Anthony Edwards to bring them one. I don't know. But it's like Kevin Garnett was, again, the Vince Carter to Toronto. He was that in Minnesota.
And is he not in the Hall of Fame? Unless I missed something.
I know you did not, sir. He is definitely there.
So what are we waiting for?
Tall, bald headed, and proud. Yeah, that man is there.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, how do you
he not... went in with Tim Duncan?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So
yep.
What's the delay here?
One of the best power forwards ever to play this game. And you don't have his jersey retired. He started, what did he play? Like 10 seasons with y'all?
Right.
Like 10 plus seasons with y'all?
Yeah.
He had y'all relevant. Like, y'all don't understand. Okay. Can we, like, the impact players? Yes, they did not win the whole thing. And I get that. And the same talk that we're going to have about the Vince Carters and the Kevin Garnetts is the same talks that we're going to have about a lot of these same great players who may not, in this era, who are not going to possibly make it to the big one. But they are impact players for their teams.
No question.
And bringing the big market.
No question.
Kevin Garnett was what? First of all, Minnesota. Just saying.
Right. Okay. I'm not saying put a statue of a
Minnesota. There, I'm not. We're not saying that. Yeah. But his jersey should definitely be the first one in the rafters.
As soon as he made Hall of Fame, it should have been.
It should have been a wrap. But the fact that it must be something else.
Yeah,
something else.
You know, well, the way he left, supposedly, you know.
Man.
Come on now.
Listen.
Minnesota do the right thing here.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. All right. We beat this horse down. All right. Let's move on.
All right.
To my guy, Draymond Green.
Yes, sir. Love.
NBA's time before I talk about him.
That's your guy, G. That's your guy.
So he goes on his podcast.
Yes, he
did. And he has Baron Davis on there. They're talking about, you know, teams that are going to be a problem in the NBA. And he brings up OKC. He doesn't like their post-game interviews. I'm going to play a little bit of what he said. So bear with me.
No worries.
Special. Right. The one thing I would say about them is there's a certain readiness when you're ready to win. And I don't care how old you are. I won my first championship in my third year. Steph's 6th year, Clay's 4th year. And we used to joke around. We will pour water on a guy's head and you know, we will pour water on a guy's head every
time. You're happy to win.
And after the game. And we would do little stuff like that every now and then. Not every time. But the one thing I see with the OKC team that is a little alarming for me is, like, their post game. It's like 7 guys in the interview. Like, there's a certain seriousness that it takes to win in this league. And there's a certain fear you have to instill in a team, in teams, in order to win. And I just don't know if they're instilling that fear in teams with all the bromance and stuff after the game. Like, bro, oh, we all the bros, it's the homies. Like, that's cool. There's a time and a place for that. But after every time somebody's in the interview, you got seven guys, eight guys. Then you got the same seven, eight guys with a picture with Josh Giddey right after they play. Like, again, I'm all for having fun. Like, it's an 82-game season. You should have fun. But you also have to understand when people are looking at you to be in a team, and you have to understand when your moment is. And right now, I don't know if OKC understands, but their moment is now. Their moment started last year. You go out, you had that great regular season, your clock starts now. You're no longer the team that's just building through the draft. You've arrived. It is now time for you to take that next step. And I'm not sure that they quite understand everything that that entails, you know.
Enough. All right, so your thoughts.
Draymond. I didn't think post-interview. I never looked too deep into that. Seven guys in a post-interview is a little weird. Not gonna lie.
Right.
But I mean, shit, they let them do what they want to do. Draymond. We do not sit here. Yeah, we do. But when you sit here and have your moments and your rants and your fouls and all your mishaps, and we allow you to have it, we talk our shit, and you go about your business. These young guns have not said nothing about you. Nothing to you. Hopefully nothing about you. I understand that you are not winning at the clip that you want to win, and you may not be the Draymond of old, but brother, it's their time.
Yeah.
And you sound like the old fart that don't want to give up the mantle. Come take the mantle. Well, here's the thing. Stop. Cut. You won in 2022. It ain't like you won in 2023 or in 2024. Okay, because that went to, I believe, the Denver Nuggets, and then that went to who won this past year?
The Boston
Celtics.
Yeah.
So in none of those were you in the running for anything. Dre, you know what you were doing? Sitting here, we were sitting here talking about your play and how you weren't playing and how you were doing a lot of talking and not enough playing and not enough sitting here being a leader for your team. But I hate when players sit here and think because they have the hardware. Like Draymond, yes, we know you're going to be a Hall of Famer. Yes. We know probably Golden State is going to make a three-person statue of you, Stephen Clay. Yeah, cool. No problem. But here's the thing, bro. Stop being the old fart that doesn't want to give it up. You're old, bro. And that's okay. That's okay. Right. That's okay. Come to Detroit. That's okay. Huh? That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
These are the new guys. It's time.
Yeah.
They're doing it. Chet Holmgren is doing it. SGA doing it. OKC is still that team. Yeah, they might have lost in the semis, but that's okay because they're young and they're coming and they're hungry and they don't give a damn about what you talking about. They can be 15 deep up in that damn press conference and they still gonna whoop your ass. I'm through.
Thank you. Here's what I'm going to say. A lot of that I agree with. I wouldn't have a problem with the message. Here's the thing. OKC is young.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an Al Horford in the locker room. They don't have a Kyle Lowry in the locker room. They don't have that veteran presence. So this is what these guys are going to do.
Right.
And if they're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of builds team camaraderie. And then also he said, too, you know, let this Baron Davis, as you went further along, said, let the stars be stars. In other words, let SGA be out there in the front.
Right.
So he can build his brand. And then that sounds a lot like the Stephen A talk about marketing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know,
I that part. That.
But, so they don't have that veteran presence. So they're going to do what you see them doing now. And right. That's okay. That's okay. They're not hurting anybody. I'm fine with it. My problem is the messenger, and that's Draymond. The fact that it's well documented, I got shorts out there and everything about my beef with him last year, how he let down his team with his antics. So for him to be the person railing against OKC, I got a problem with that.
Right.
If that was Steph saying this about OKC, then I'd be like, you know, he has a point there.
He has a point, exactly.
And he's the guy who can bring forth that message. Draymond, no. Oh, because your cachet is messed up from that, and not to mention you fought your own teammate in the locker room. So
yeah, you did. Punched him in the face.
So
Jesus.
Again, the message. I could go either way with it, but they're not harming anybody in doing this.
Right.
So I'm cool with it. It builds team camaraderie, team togetherness. I'm all for that.
Right.
But the messenger is who I have the problem with. So
I understand.
So I'll leave that there before I get myself in trouble. Okay. All right. So let's go through this injury news. Got quite a few players here. So let's go through this. Scottie Barnes for the Toronto Raptors. He's going to be out 3 weeks, guys, with an eye injury that he suffered in a October 28th loss to the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
So the Toronto Raptors will be without his services, who, oh, by the way, they just got back RJ Barrett, who's been balling. Then Emmanuel Quickley, he hasn't played all season yet because he has an injured pelvis that he suffered, I believe, in the first game of the season. Okay. And he hasn't played since. So Scottie Barnes out 3 weeks, guys. Desmond Bane for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's out indefinitely. It's week to week. He has an oblique strain that he suffered October 30th in a loss to Brooklyn. So Desmond Bane, he had injury problems last season, just like Scottie Barnes did. So Desmond Bane, he's on a week-to-week basis now. So we'll see what happens there. You'll see guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. get a shot now. Jalen Wells, he'll get a shot as well while Bane is out. But thankfully, they have Ja Morant back, who's playing very well.
Right.
In fact, he's playing very well. And Jaren Jackson, he's back now because he was injured at the beginning of the season.
Oh, nice. JJ Jack.
So they should be able to hold the fort until Bane is ready.
Cool.
Jordan Clarkson, he's going to be out for at least a week with plantar fasciitis.
And
that happened on Halloween, actually, in a loss to San Antonio Spurs.
Gotcha.
So Jordan Clarkson, who was actually, he was starting for them. Now they'll have to fill that role while he's gone. Kyle Kuzma for the Washington Wizards. He's going to be out for a week and counting with a groin injury. In fact, he's not playing tonight. So, so we'll see what happens with Kyle Kuzma. And that happened in a road win against the Atlanta Hawks on October 28th. Now, this one really, this came down recently. Paolo Banchero, of the Orlando Magic. Mm-hmm. He tears his oblique, and he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, and that happened late in a late game against the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. Mind you, the prior game, he dropped the 50 burger.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero was nice.
I thought this was a year where he was really going to tear it up. Yeah. But this definitely slows him down a bit. So we'll see how he recovers, but definitely speedy recovery for him. And then Indiana Pacers, they're down two big men now. Isaiah Jackson, he was their top backup because James Wiseman, who they got in free agency, he tore his Achilles the first opening night of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Isaiah Jackson, he tears his Achilles.
Damn.
So you're down two backup centers now. And that happened on last Friday in a loss to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Damn.
So right now they're grasping at straws as far as big men go. So,
man, heal up to all these men, bro. For real, yeah, for real. Yeah, all of y'all, man. Heal up fast.
Yes.
And rest. Sure. Make sure you rest. Drink some water.
That's it.
Stay hydrated. And hella fast, man. We want y'all back in the league.
For sure. Good news, though. Devin Vassell of the San Antonio Spurs. He's ramping up his play by playing down in the G League. So he had a foot injury coming into the season. So he's rehabbing himself. So hopefully we'll see him within either this week or next week. He'll be back with the club, which they'll need him. You know, he's their young shooting guard. So,
gotcha.
And they just re-signed him for that big money. So they definitely going to need him.
Right.
And then Paul George makes his season debut tonight, in fact, as Philly's on the road.
My boy.
Yeah.
PG.
Podcast P. They have a road game with the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
He missed the first five games. And, oh, by the way, Joel Embiid, he's still out indefinitely with the knee injury as well. So,
and he talking about, oh, no, I'm not playing back-to-backs. Boy, you can't even play right now. Hush and sit out.
Yes. And speaking of Embiid, the league is investigating a confrontation he had with a Philadelphia columnist, Marcus Hayes. Joel Embiid took exception to an article that Hayes wrote on October 23rd, in which he invoked the name of Embiid's son and his late brother. And I actually saw the article, that the original article, what it said in the beginning, basically that the son, he named his son after his late brother, and he said he wanted to make him proud, but is this making him proud by him sitting out? So he questioned his work ethic and all those things.
Right.
And then he confronted Marcus Hayes in the locker room when all the reporters were in there, and, you know, kind of a shouting match with him.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly got physical, but thankfully his teammates came in. But Joel Embiid feeling the pressure, you know, of him not being out on the court with the guys. And he's saying, you know, he doesn't want to rush to get back on the court, because if he does that,
he'll
just re-injure himself, which he actually did.
Right. So,
you know, to his credit, that actually did happen. So we'll see what happens. But Joel Embiid. So what are your thoughts with Embiid and his situation as far as?
Love Joel Embiid. When healthy, honestly, top three players in the world. However, I will say this, G. I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
Right. I've been around this kind of social media journalistic, you know, world for a while, in this industry for a while. When it comes to people writing things about you, saying things about you, whether they have the credentials or not, you have to understand that you know that it's like you have to have some tough skin. The journalists, in a sense, I don't think he said anything crazy, but to Joel, he did. He said something out of pocket. Talked about your brother. I didn't see to him, you know, call him out his name or anything, but him insinuating like, yo, is this really for your brother? You know, at this kind of vulnerable time, I can understand why you got upset. I can understand why you got upset. I can empathize in that. But that doesn't mean you go and you kind of find the report and put your hands on them. That's not what happens, because now this happens. Yeah. Now we're investigating. Now probably charges are getting, you know, going to get, you know, pressed. Charges are going to get pressed now. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be pressing charges. You know what I'm saying? Now we're looking deeper into something that could have just been a conversation.
Yeah.
All right. And so I want to just say, like, yo, to not just athletes, but a lot of people, do not take what people are saying to heart like this. And if you see them out on the street, have a conversation. Now, if they talking about your kinfolk like in a very, very terrible way, now all bets are off the table. I can't help that person.
Right.
But if I'm writing something of constructive criticism, because I think we forgot about that word, that phrase. I think we forgot about constructive criticism, to kind of taking the constructive off and just, you know, it's all criticism at this point. It's not constructive. It's all criticism. And whether it's criticism to help or criticism to be applied to your game or to anything in life, I think we have abandoned the constructive, and just now everybody sees criticism.
Because
you criticize me or da, 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 I'm going to be mad at you. When in all actuality, it's constructive. It's not sitting here telling you that you're a bad player, because we know that you're not. We know that, again, when you are fully healthy, Joel Embiid, you are the top three players in the league, if not top two. We know that for a fact. You won an MVP. We know that when you're on the court, the Sixers are literally better, drastically better. We know that for a fact. It's proven, it's shown. We've seen the stats. We know the numbers. But at some point, Joel, you're going to have to grow up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to grow up, big dog. And I mean that literally and figuratively. You're going to have to grow up. Because these little antics that you have been doing for the last 5 years, Joel. 5 years. I can go back 5 years and know about the little shit that you were doing. This petty stuff. You getting mad over here. You sitting here, you know, doing a little petty shit on the court. Like, I watch the games.
Yeah.
And I watch it sometimes just to see who going to be petty and do some dumb shit. And you sometimes are always right in the middle of that. Doing dumb shit.
I know it all too well. Yeah, I know it all too well.
So it's just like, come on, bro.
In fact, my center is still on the sideline from his antics. But
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So Joel Embiid has to clean it the fuck up.
Yeah.
He has to clean it up. He has to clean it up.
Yeah.
Your team needs you. You've been in Philly for way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. Not for you to clean up your act. You had James Harden. Now you got PG. All right, when can we expect some winning to happen? consistent winning to happen.
Yeah.
That's it.
I can't disagree with a word you said. I'm not thrilled with the guy because he does do like dirty antics and this and that. Last season in the playoffs, I talked about that. But he's important to the team. And right now they need him. Sure, you got Andre Drummond, but you don't want to burn him out. You know,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, you have Andre Drummond, but he's the backup. He's the backup for a reason. Yes, he can get you like 20 rebounds off the boards, no problem. But I'm like, he's the backup for a reason. You're going to burn him out, and by the time he gets to the playoffs, you're not going to have a backup center who's going to give you those valuable minutes that you're going to need against a possible Anthony Davis or a possible Jokic or something like that, or Giannis or whatever, like you're or any big man in the league right now. Yes. You're not going to have it.
Yes. And you heard me talk about the Pacers situation with their centers.
Right.
You know, think about that. Now they're down to no backup centers. So do you want to put your team in that same situation? You got to think about that. And you're right. He has to be a leader. He has to be a leader on that team.
Yes.
Can he do that? It remains to be seen. So we'll just leave it there with Embiid. We'll see what happens with him. What happens with that investigation.
Right.
So
I got a peace out. I'm so sorry.
We went kind of long here, so
no worries, no. But I gotta get up out of here. I got my spaghetti cooking real quick.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I love y'all. I appreciate you, G. Thank you so much, Joelle.
Thank you for coming on. Let people know how to get in contact with you.
Hey, yo, listen, we are currently switching over platforms, so this is an exclusive Real Talk. I haven't really been potting as of late, but we are switching over platforms, so you can still check us out on all platforms, but distributing wise we are switching over platforms. I will be coming back with some new content soon, so even during the Thanksgiving break y'all will have something coming across the plate for the Epic Echo Productions. So just follow us, Epic Echo Productions, on all platforms. Not TikTok though, because we're not there. All right. So follow us there. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and on Threads. All right. I love y'all. I appreciate all y'all. Right. G, thank you so
appreciate
much.
You coming on.
Thank
appreciate
you. G.
Coming on.
Appreciate
I put the information stuff in my the body of the Instagram. So your ats and all that kind of stuff.
I appreciate you, G. Thank you, man.
Okay. Thanks back for coming on, bro.
Thanks.
Okay. Love y'all. All right, guys. So we thank Ty the Pod Guy for coming on with us for this episode. Always appreciate his input, his content, and just a great guy overall. So with that said, a couple more items and then we're out of here, guys. The Milwaukee Bucks, who right now I was just taking a glance, they're getting beat by Cleveland. With a 1-5 start, could Giannis be on the move in a trade? I don't think so, guys. I don't think he gets moved. I think it's way too early to talk that kind of stuff as far as trading Giannis goes. Here's what I will say, though. First of all, you don't have Chris Middleton. So you have to take that into account. Chris Middleton is a vital piece for that team. He has not played yet. So once you get him back, once he gets into the flow of things, I would see how that goes before I make any rash decisions. But I tell you what, and it's something I said on the season preview, Doc Rivers is in the hottest seat right now as far as coaches goes. He didn't have a stellar record after he took over for Adrian Griffin. So you know that. And now he's off to this not so great start. So you got to start looking at Doc Rivers with a raised eyebrow. So we'll see what happens with Doc. But I think the Giannis being traded talk is much too early. It's much too early to have that discussion. So there's that. And then I got to talk about a performance I saw last week for my New York Knicks. Carl Anthony Towns, guys. Now, the game prior to what he did against Miami, he only took 8 shots in that loss to Cleveland at the Garden when they lost 110 to 104. So you had people like Gilbert Arenas questioning Tom Thibodeau, talking about his coaching style is too archaic, it's too old school, and it's lazy not to get Carl Anthony Towns involved, to which I went on his page and told him, your take is a lazy take, because under Tibbs, when they played when he was under Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota, 2 of the 3 years he was an all-star with 20 plus points and 10 rebounds. So I think Tibbs knows how to coach Carl Anthony Towns. So Wednesday, October 30th, he goes to Miami and absolutely destroys them. 44 points on 7 of 25 shooting. Good gracious. Along with 4 for 5 from 3, and he was perfect from the line, 6 for 6. Along with the 44 points, he had 13 rebounds. I mean, he absolutely destroyed Bam Adebayo, who, oh, by the way, Bam Adebayo is a very good defender, but he couldn't do a thing with Cat. They tried Bam. They tried Thomas Bryant. They even put the young kid, Nikolai Jovic, on him, and they had no answer for the guy, and he absolutely went to work. And that just gives me hope as a Knicks fan to see Carl Anthony Towns putting in that kind of work. And it just begs to say, with these crazy takes, let games be played before you have these kind of outlandish takes. I'm just saying. And that, what he said, aged like day-old milk. So there's that. So, but shout out to Carl Anthony Towns for such a magnificent performance that evening. A couple more things, and then we're out of here. Greg Popovich, guys, out indefinitely with a health issue. It hasn't been disclosed what the health issue is. All we want to do is send prayers up for Greg Popovich. Hopefully, you know, whatever the health scare is, it gets handled and he's able to get back to the court. In the interim for the San Antonio Spurs, the assistant coach, Mitch Johnson, he's sitting in the coach's chair for now. And so far, so good. 1-0. They were able to get a win against Minnesota. So shout out to Mitch Johnson for getting the win there. And Victor Wembanyama, oh, by the way, he had a rare 5-5, 5 steals and 5 blocks in a game. That boy, man. See what can happen when you have a professional point guard like Chris Paul dishing you the ball and getting you the ball in the right places. It does wonders for you. So Victor Wembanyama balling right now. And then I just want to do my quick, this is an added to the show, GD's Big 5 after week 2. My top 5 teams after week 2. First, we'll go with the Cleveland Cavaliers at 7-0. I chronicled them, Donovan Mitchell playing well. The big difference to me, guys, Evan Mobley is playing well. I mean, he's moving, he's grooving, to take a line from Walt Frazier, and he's really balling right now. Darius Garland, he's healthy now, so he looks very good as well. He taught my Knicks the other night, but Darius Garland is healthy. Remember, he had all the health issues last year. And then remember, too, that starting five, after the All-Star break, they didn't play a lot of minutes together. So there was that as well. So with that said, they're healthy now. They have Kenny Atkinson there, and he's got the boys rolling. So they're my top team. Second would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. What they're doing out there, they are first in opposing teams scoring. They're the only team holding teams under 100 points. I mean, these young cats are getting after it right now. So Mark Daigneault has those boys playing out of their minds. Of course, leading the way, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander you have there. Chet Holmgren, he's got another year under his belt now, playing well. Jalen Williams, Lou Dort, and all those guys over there just balling right now and on top in the West as they were last year. Third, Boston Celtics, your reigning NBA champions. They have the one loss on their books. That loss came to the Indiana Pacers. But Boston right now, they're first in scoring. They're leading everybody. They're dropping their threes. They're going to live and die by that three-point shot, but I digress. But Boston, your third team. Fourth, Golden State Warriors. Right now, they're 5-1. Steve Kerr's doing an excellent job over there. Your leading scorer, for crying out loud, is Buddy Hield coming off the bench. So Buddy Hield right now, very early, a valued bench contributor for that team. Steph Curry, he hasn't started lighting up yet, guys, but that'll come. And they're getting contributions all over the place. And I think what's big for them, they're now starting Trace Jackson Davis alongside Draymond Green. I think that's a brilliant move for that team. Andrew Wiggins is playing well right now, so Golden State Warriors, 5-1 early on. We'll see. And then fifth, the Phoenix Suns, also 5-1. The reason I put Golden State higher is they have a bigger winning margin over their opponents, whereas the Suns, it's kind of closer in that regard. But Devin Booker's playing very well. You got KD, of course. And I hear now KD is beefing with Stephen A. again. He called him a clown, and then Stephen A. clapped back. And you know he's going to go on his podcast, and he's really going to drill into him. So there's that. But Phoenix, 5-1 over there. And they're doing that with Coach Mike Budenholzer over there. So we'll see what happens with Phoenix. So with that said, guys, that is it. I thank you for listening as always. You know the place. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can get to all my stuff there. My support buttons are there, guys. Support this podcast. Support, you know, when we have guests on, like Ty the Pod Guy. Support us. I have my Buy Me a Coffee button, I have my PayPal button there, and I have my Spotify donate button. So give to the show. Cash App is $GD that sports dude. Again, $GD that sports dude. That's my Cash App. On YouTube, I did it live on YouTube, so the video is right there for you tonight, guys. So I'm on there. Podcast platforms, I'll be putting this up. I'll be uploading it shortly, so it'll be on there as well. Also, on my socials, IG, I'll be on there. I was supposed to do it live on there, but you know how that goes. But but anyhow, I'll be doing my shorts and so forth, and they'll be on there. But Other than that, I think that's it. Again, I thank Ty the Pod Guy for coming on. Great conversation with him. Hope to have him back on the show soon. And guys, we're just going to keep doing this because you know how I get down. And then, of course, I have to represent my Liberty team, the New York Liberty, doing it, the championship. So, you know, I had to get my swag. So, you know how that goes. All right, guys, I thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is so important to the show. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, guys, until then, we'll talk soon. Take care.